Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. I introduced this analogy or image of a wheel and the axis of the wheel.
Es šodien minēju to līdzību ar ratu un tā asi.
And I find it a useful simile to contemplate both the worldly dharmas that we're involved with and the spiritual center of our being.
Un tā man šķiet ļoti piemērota līdzība, lai saprastu tās pasaulīgās darmas, ar kurām mēs esam ikdienā saistīti, un to garīgo mūsu centru.
So the rim of the wheel, you could look at being all our experiences, all our relationships, all our thoughts and emotions and memories.
Riteņa ārējā daļa ir viss mūsu domas, pieredzes, emocijas un tā tālāk.
And that's the realm where the Buddha is, the Buddha's teaching is recommending that we live morally, we live with generosity, that we develop good worldly skills, that we develop good communication skills. That's the realm where we live as individuals in society and family and so on.
Un tā ir tā sfēra, kurā Buda iesaka pielietot tikumību, attīstīt labas saprašanās spējas, dzīvot prasmīgi sabiedrībā.
And that's where in Buddhism we would say the sense of a personal identity is. So as I was saying right at the beginning, that's where in the rim of the wheel, that's where I am Viradhammo, I have my responsibilities in the monastery, I am 66 years old and I have a Canadian passport, and so on and so forth. That where I'm defined as an individual and a personality, where I have the responsibilities of an individual.
Un šī riteņa ārējā daļa ir tā, kurā es esmu nodefinēts kā konkrēta persona, Viradhammo, kurš ir 66 gadu vecs, kuram ir Kanādas pase, kuram ir noteikta atbildība sabiedrībā un tā tālāk.
And that realm is one where I have some input, so I can try to live morally. I can try to develop myself with good communication skills. I can try to be careful in my planning. I can try to do exercise. I can be involved in ecology and social justice and so on and so forth.
Un tā ir sfēra, kur es varu ietekmēt. Es varu izvēlēties dzīvot tikumīgi. Es varu izvēlēties palīdzēt dabai un ekoloģiskajai sistēmai un tā tālāk.
The thing about the rim is that it's very unreliable because it's dependent on not just what I do, but there are all kinds of other factors that come into play as the world sort of unfolds and unravels day by day.
Bet tā lieta ar šo riteņa ārējo daļu ir tāda, ka uz to nevar sevišķi paļauties, jo pasaule mainās no dienas uz dienu nepārtraukti.
So I can do a little bit, and that's important. I can do quite a lot, and that's important. But I don't have ultimate control.
Es varu izdarīt nedaudz, un tas ir svarīgi. Es varu izdarīt diezgan daudz, un arī tas ir svarīgi. Bet man nekad nav pilna kontrola, pilna vara pār to.
So I try to do my utmost to be a responsible individual in my culture and in my society and so on. And I do that to my utmost ability, but also I try to develop the still center of awareness through all these different responsibilities that I have.
Un es cenšos, cik ir manos spēkos, būt atbildīgs šajā ārējā sfērā, bet vienlaikus es cenšos arī attīstīt šo centrālo daļu, kas ir apzināšanās.
And I think one of the things that people find very difficult, it's a very difficult concept in Buddhism, is this teaching around not-self or anatta. And it sounds like, well, anatta, not self, it sounds like no one's there. But you're doing something, aren't you? Your knees hurt, or they don't hurt, and my knees hurt, and we still go, we eat. And so there's something going on, there's some individuality going on there. So the teachings of not self are very slippery. And if you just take the teachings of not self, there's nothing, then it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense.
Un viena no lietām budismā, kas cilvēkiem ir grūti saprotama, ir šī mācība par ne-esiem, mācība par anatta. Un ja mēs centrējamies tikai šo mācību par anatta, tad mēs varam nedaudz nobraukt no sliedēm, jo tomēr ir taču arī kāds, kas šeit sēž, kuram sāp ceļi, kas iet ēst, un tā tālāk nav tā, ka nav pilnīgi nekā.
So there's the famous kind of monk story where some monk teachers, one of the disciple of the teachers saying to the teacher, oh, it doesn't really matter, it's not self, you know, it doesn't really matter, and the teacher whacks him in the head. He says, how's that? Not self?
Mūku vidū ir kāds populārs stāsts, kurā māceklis saka skolotājiem, ka, nu, īstenībā tas taču nav svarīgi. Es nepastāvu, uz ko skolotājs viņam iebliež papieri un prasa, nu kā, kāda ir sajūta šim nēs?
Iebliež. Nice, huh? That's like to hit. Mm-hmm. Nice word, iebliež. It's a paradox, maybe. Look at it that way. There is individuality. Each of us has a different experience in this retreat. No doubt about it. There is individuality. But also, when you try to find a fixed individual or a fixed person in that, you can't find anything. You'll find changing emotions and changing memories and changing physical feelings, but you can't find a kind of fixed entity there.
Un mēs varam paraudzīties uz to, kā paradox. No vienas puses pastāv kaut kāda individualitāte, bet vienlaikus šajā individualitātē nav kaut kas fiksēts.
So I don't know if you remember when I began the first evening, I stated that when the Buddha in his last year of his life, when he was asked who is the Dharma heir, who is going to be the next teacher to take over your work, the Buddha said, I don't leave you a person, I leave you the Dhamma and the Vinaya.
Un nezinu, vai jūs atceraties, bet pirmajā vakarā es teicu, ka Budas dzīves pēdējā gadā, kad viņam vaicāja, ko viņš atstās kā savu Dhammas pēcteci, viņš atbildēja, ka viņš neatstās kādu konkrētu personu, bet viņš atstās mācību un vināju.
And the Vinaya was his social philosophy, or social, not quite a philosophy, more like the social structure that he suggested the monastic community should live by, within which they could then practice awareness.
Un Vinaya ir savā ziņā tāda sociālā struktūra, kuras ietvaros mūki var dzīvot un attīstīt apzinātību.
But he didn't say that the social structure itself would give you enlightenment. The social structure is limited. But if you have a good social structure, it's easier to be mindful and practice awareness.
Bet viņš neteica, ka šī sociālā struktūra pati par sevi nodrošinās apskaidrību. Ja ir šāda sociālā struktūra, tas padara vieglāk pieejamu šo apskaidrību sasniegšanu.
And everyone in the monastic community, whether they are enlightened or not, everyone who is a monastic in Theravada Buddhism is supposed to keep the allegiance to these rules and social structures. They're supposed to obey them.
Un nekviens, kas ir modistu mūku loceklis Theravādas budismā, ir viņam ir jāpieturās pie šīs konkrētās vinājas, pie šīs sociālās struktūras.
And there's a nice story where an enlightened monk, Anuruddha, does something socially really inappropriate. It's not immoral, but it's socially inappropriate, and it's against the monastic rule. And Anuruddha goes against that, not through any moral intent, just because he doesn't have the awareness of what the consequences of his action are going to be. And the Buddha criticizes him. He said, you can't do that. You're a monk. So even though he's enlightened, he's still criticized for going against the social norm, the agreement of the community.
Un ir kāds stāsts par mūku, kas kaut arī bija apskaidrots, izdarīja kaut ko nepieņemamu sabiedrībai. Kaut arī tas nebija nekas netikumīgs, tas tomēr bija krietni nepieņemami tai konkrētajai kārtībai, kādu Buda bija ieteicis. Un tātad, kaut arī šis mūks bija apskaidrots, Buda viņam teica, ka to nedrīkst tā darīt.
So we all, we all live in different social situations, and I think we can all see that if the social situation has a lot of poverty, has a lot of conflict, has environmental degradation, has a lot of stress in it in some way, it's very hard to be mindful. So the more we can create good societies, good families, through social responsibility and social justice, the better for all of us to be able to practice the path of enlightenment.
Un mēs varam dzīvot dažādās sabiedriskajās iekārtās un vidēs, bet mēs redzam, ka ja mums apkārt valda nabadzība, sociālā nevienlīdzība, ekoloģiskās problēmas, konflikti, tad ir grūti šādā vidē saglabāt labu apzināšanos.
But if that's the only thing we have, we only have our social interactions and our social work and our families, if that's the only thing we have, then we don't really have any refuge, because all of that is subject to birth and death, it's subject to change, it's subject to factors outside of our control. So just relying on our social life, the Buddha would say, is a kind of failed opportunity, I'd say.
Un ja mēs paļaujamies tikai uz šo savu sociālo dzīvi, uz ģimeni, uz sabiedrību un tā tālāk, tad šis ceļš ir pakļauts neveiksmē, jo vai tā ir neizmantot izdevību, jo šis viss ir pakļauts piedzimšanai, miršanai, un tas nav kaut kas paliekošs.
So undoubtedly there are times of happiness and times of harmony, times of a beautiful friendship. So there's a lot of positive things that can go on there. But if we are constantly just trying to create factors to make our social life, our inner life positive, we're forever getting to a point, oh no, it's failed again. Oh no, it's changed again. We get to this sense of disappointment.
Un, protams, pastāv arī laimes brīži, ir laba draudzība, izveidojas harmonija, bet ja mēs paļaujamies tikai uz to, tad neizbēgami mēs atkal un atkal atduramies pret, ak nē, atkal nav tā, kā es gribēju.
So, for instance, I like harmony. I don't like disharmony. I don't know about you. So I enjoy harmony. I enjoy when the community is communicating well and getting along with each other well. I enjoy when we can pay our bills, when there's some food on the table and so on and so forth. I like that. And when it changes to disharmony, I don't like that. But can I always keep the monastery and everyone, all the inhabitants in the monastery in a constant state of harmony? I've tried, it's a disaster. It does not work.
Man personīgi patīk, ka ja viss ir harmonijā, saskaņā, un man nepatīk nesaskaņas, un man patīk, ja klosterī visi dzīvo saskanīgi, ja uz galda ir ēdienas, ja attiecības ir labas, bet es esmu mēģinājis sagaidīt šo saskaņu vienmēr, un nav tā, ka tas jau kad šāds mūžīgas saskaņas brīdis pienāk.
So harmony has the roots of disappointment in it.
Tātad saskaņā, harmonijā jau ir ietvērtas neapmierinātības saknes.
If I depend for harmony on my inner welfare,
ja es cenšos paļauties uz harmoniju kā manas iekšējās labsajūtas avotu.
But if my spiritual center is awareness rather than something like harmony, then I realize that if I have harmony, then I must have disharmony. It's just the nature of things. And if awareness is my real home, then when harmony changes to disharmony, I'm not shattered. I just know what's it supposed to be. Harmony is supposed to change. It's supposed to change to disharmony. That's its nature. That's its dharma.
Bet ja manas īstās mājas ir apziņa, apzināšanās, tad es varu uzlūkot šo harmoniju tādu, kāda tā ir. Tā ir pārmaiņa dabā, un harmonija var pārtapt par nesaskaņām.
Now, because I prefer harmony to disharmony, when there's disharmony in the monastery, my unskillful tendency is to try to find someone to blame. So I say, it's his fault. No, it's her fault. And that's what my mind wants to do, because my mind wants to hold on to this wheel, which is spinning. It wants to hold on to one bit of it. And because I hold on, it spins me around.
Un tā kā man ir šī tendence vēlēties harmoniju vai dot tādu priekšroku, tad līdz ar to man nāk tāda negatīva tendence vainot kādu vai censties atrast kādu vainīgo, kad šī saskaņa tiek izjaukta. Un tad es cenšos atrast kādu vainīgo un pateikt, ka lūk, viņš ir vainīgs vai viņa ir vainīga. Un ja es tajā iesaistos, tad šī riteņa ārmā paņem mani sev līdzi kustībā.
And usually I blame myself.
Un visbiežāk es vainoju pats sevi.
So this harmony arises, it's a condition. It's just the way things are. If I'm aware, oh, this is what this harmony feels like, it's this way, I can still work for harmony, but I don't need harmony for my spiritual life because I have awareness. And so when disharmony arises, I say, oh, this is what disharmony feels like. It feels this way.
Bet, ja parādās nesaskaņas, tad es varu atgriezties pie savām īstajām mājām, pie apzināšanās un saprast, lūk, kāda izjūta ir, kad ir nesaskaņas. Un nesakot, neiekļūt to virpulī.
So say something like you have some agreement, some friendship. Let's say you have some friendship with someone. You're loyal to them, right? And they and you put a lot into this relationship, and then one day you find they've betrayed you, and you feel very disappointed, more than disappointed.
Teiksim, jums ir kāda laba draudzība, un jums ir liela paļaušanās un uzticība, bet kādu dienu jūs atklājat, ka jūs esat smagi nodots?
And that's very painful. Very painful to be not just disappointed but betrayed. That's a very painful feeling.
Un tā ir ļoti sāpīga sajūta, ka jūs esat ne tikai sāpināts, bet nodots.
Now if then you take that sense of betrayal and you then try to find some compensation for it. You try to blame someone, you blame yourself, you run away to a distraction, you start to eat food or drink alcohol or whatever. Your attempt is to find some kind of stability on the wheel again. And you run around on this wheel seeking some way away from this disappointment or the sense of betrayal because it's so painful.
Un tā tendence tajā brīdī, kad jūs esat ticis nodots, ir censties atrast kaut kādu stabilitāti šai ārējā riteņa daļā. Jūs vai nu vēršaties pie ēdiena pēc mierinājumā, vai arī cenšaties kaut kur citur atrast mierinājumu un stabilitāti.
And what we're trying to do is we're seeing that what we're trying to do in this practice is to whatever the movement on the wheel is, whatever the movement is, we're trying to stay very attentive to the movement and be the stillness that knows the movement.
Bet tas, ko mēs cenšamies šajā praksē panākt, ir skaidri apzināties, kā šī ārējā daļa kustas un skaidri to pamanīt.
So the Buddha's teaching is that all sense experience is unsatisfactory because it's always changing, it's always dependent on things. And if you rely on that which is always changing and dependent on other things, you'll always be disappointed.
Un Buddhas mācība ir, ka šī paļaušanās uz maņu pieredzēm var novest pie tikai nepatikšanām, jo šī maņu pieredze visu laiku mainās, ir nepastāvīga un ir atkarīga no dažādiem cēloņiem un apstākļiem.
And that's why the teaching so much emphasizes awareness of change. Rather than looking for something on this wheel all the time for fulfillment, you begin to see that fulfillment can only lie in this witnessing to change, because that is unchanging.
Un tāpēc tiek ļoti ieteikts pamanīt šo visa mainīgo dabu. Jo tikai pamanot, ka viss mainās, mēs varam nokļūt vietā, kas ir nemainīga.
Now sometimes we get so beat up on the wheel, we get so, you know, life gets so difficult, and like emotionally it's very stressful, or economically it's very, very stressful, that it's very, very hard to be mindful, and we pick up a lot of stuff, don't we? We register our bodies hold a lot of negative things in the muscles and in the emotional system, and we find ourselves sometimes with quite a lot of inner baggage that we have to deal with.
Un nereti mēs varam pamanīt, ka mēs esam uzsūkuši šo negatīvo no šīs ārējās riteņa daļas, un tas ir uzkrājies mūsu muskuļos, mūsu ķermenī, un tā ir kā bagāža, kas nāk mums līdzi.
And I just to give you an example, when I cared for my mother, so I was with her for 9 years, and the last few years, it was really, really, really exhausting because it was 24/7 caring for her.
Un es varu minēt kā piemēru manu rūpēšanos par māti, kas notika 9 gadus, un jo sevišķi pēdējā gada bija ļoti grūti, jo faktiski tā bija nepārtraukt rūpēšanās par viņu 24 stundas diennaktī, 7 dienas nedēļā.
There was a lot of beauty in it because I really loved my mom, so there was a lot of beauty in it, but my emotional system at the end of it was just totally exhausted, and how else could it be?
Savā ziņā tas bija arī skaisti, jo es ļoti mīlēju savu māti, bet vienlaikus manā emocionālā sistēma bija burtiski pārsātināta un nogurusi.
And when I was with my mom when she died, And I was actually alone with her. The doctor had gone in her bed, and she died. I washed her body. I laid her out. I did chanting. I invited some friends. We did some chanting. And then I didn't let the mortician take her away. I kept her body at home for 36 hours.
Un tajā brīdī, kad māte nomira, ārsts jau bija aizgājis prom, es biju kopā ar viņu viens, es nomazgāju viņas ķermenī, veicu dziedājumus, ielūdzu arī pāris draugus un veicām dziedājumus kopā, un es neļāvu morkavīram aizvākt ķermenī, un es atstāju to 36 stundas.
This was in March, and so I turned the heat off in the room, so it was cold. And then I would just go in and be with mom and contemplate death, and then I'd go out and organize the funeral and phone people, and then I'd go into the room. So I used it as a very, very powerful meditation.
Tas bija marta laikā, ap kuri jau bija atslēgta, un istabā bija vēs, un es ik brīdim iegāju istabā, meditēju par nāvi un tad atkal devos prom un organizēju bēres un tā bija ļoti spēcīga pieredze.
And then we had the funeral and then my brother said go back to the monastery, I'll take care of the worldly things, so he took care of that. So I went back to the monastery and then I was really curious, okay, what happens now?
Un tad mans brālis ierosināja pēc bērēm kā tagad es parūpējušos par visām vajadzīgajām lietām, tu atgriezies savā klostera dzīvē, un es tā arī izdarīju, atgriezos klostera dzīvē, un mans prāts bija ļoti ziņkārīgs, kas tagad notiks.
And it was lousy. For 2 months it was awful.
Un veselus divus mēnešus bija tāds kā prāta jūceklis.
Ajahn Kusala said, just go to the kuti, you have no responsibilities, do what you need to do.
Ajahns Kusala teica, dodies uz savu kutī, tev nav nekādu pienākumu, dari, kas tev jādara.
Now, I wasn't sad that my mother died because she was so ready to go. She was 96 and she just wanted to get out. She would often say, he's forgotten me.
Es nebiju noskumis, jo faktiski nāve bija tas, ko manā māte vēlējās un ilgi gaidīja, jo viņa bija jau 96 gadus veca, un ik pareizē viņa minēja, ka viņš traukšā ir pilnīgi aizmirsis par mani.
And so there was nothing wrong with her death. We were together, so it was quite beautiful in that way. But I was just so exhausted, and just what I want to indicate here is sometimes our nervous system is very exhausted. I was so exhausted, it took 2 months of just being with myself. Unfortunately, I was able to be with myself of just really, just terrible aversion and depression and all kinds of very very unpleasant mind states.
Ar nāvi, tādā ziņā viss bija kārtībā, bet viss nebija kārtībā ar manu emocionālo stāvokli. Es gāju cauri nomāktībai, depresijai, dažādiem prāta stāvokļiem, un man ļoti paveicās, ka man bija šādi iespēja 2 mēnešus būt kopā tikai pašam ar sevi un sakārtot savu iekšējo pasauli.
Now, fortunately, I realized, well, there's actually nothing wrong. I just feel rotten. I had the insight. I said, well, how else could you feel? You're exhausted. Now, if someone could have said to me, oh, cheer up, Viradamo, I would have punched him in the face.
Un tad bija nepieciešams šis laiks, kamēr es varēju savest sev kārtībā un iziet cauri tam visam, un ja kāds man nāktu garām un teikt, nu, ir domā, taču pasmaidz, dzīve notiek traka, tad es tajā brīdī viņam būtu gatavs iebliest pa seju.
Iebliest, that's it. Because, and I know, like, for the others, they're very confused, because I'm usually a pretty happy guy. So the others are really, whoa, what's his problem?
Un es varu saprast šo attieksmi no citiem, jo es parasti esmu visnotaļ priecīgs un jautrs. Un tad viņi bija apmulsojuši redzēt mani šādā stāvoklī, un viņi nesaprata, nu, ka šim vīram ir lēcies.
And so I just, like, I couldn't really meditate. I just walked around, kind of dazed. I was just looking around and what's going on?
Un es pat īsti nevarēju pameditēt. Es staigāju kā tāds apdulis apkārt un centos saprast, kas īsti te notiek.
And I don't usually listen to music, but someone gave me some very kind of operatic music with a lot of emotional voice in it. I forget what it was.
Un es parasti neklausos mūziku, bet kāds man bija iedevis mūzikas ierakstus, kurā bija tāda operas vai operetes dziedājumi, kur bija visnotaļ emocionāli.
So I thought, oh, this would be interesting. Better than meditation. So I played this music quite deliberately to see how it would affect my heart. And I found that because it was so emotional, it drew all the emotions out of here. And I said, okay, if you're going to feel crappy, let's really feel crappy. Let's go for it. So I just kept playing this music again and again. And come on, let's have it. You want to feel terrible? Feel terrible. And it was actually very, very helpful.
Un es vienkārši pamēģināju, kas notiks, kad es klausīšos šo mūziku. Un tad tas, kas notika, bija tā kā šī mūzika bija tik emocionāla, tad tā ņēma un izvilka ārā šīs emocijas no manis. Un tad es sev teicu, nu, ja tu vēlies justies draņķīgi, tad turpini tādā garā. Un tā es arī turpināju, klausoties atkal nakal šo mūziku.
And so what I was curious about, well, what does it really feel like to feel awful? You know, like, this is what mindfulness is going right into the fire and saying, okay, you feel awful. What is it like to feel awful? What is it really like? Face it like a fact. What does it feel like? And touching it like that is the way you actually release it from consciousness.
Un es tam piegāju ar tādu ziņkārību. Kāda ir sajūta jūtoties draņķīgi, briesmīgi, nelāgi un ar apzinātību saskaroties ar šīm savām sajūtām, tas ir veids, kā mēs tiekam ar tām galā.
It was interesting because, you know, I'll never have that experience again. You only have one mom and I was very tired, but that lasted about 2 months, some intensity, less intense, you know, kind of coming and going. And after 2 months it lifted and it was gone, vanished, never came back.
Un kaut kas tāds notiek tikai vienreiz mūžā, jo māte ir tikai viena. Un pēc šiem diviem mēnešiem, kas bija visnotaļ intensīvi, tas viss bija pagājis un vairs neatgriezās.
And I don't see that as any, there was nothing wrong with that, there was nothing. You know, like my practice wasn't bad. Actually, my practice was pretty good because I realized my refuge is awareness, not the emotions. And if it's a test of awareness. Okay, can you be with this? Can you be aware of this? So that's why I would bring it up rather than try to replace it or distract it or get away from it. I say, no, let's be with this now.
Tāpēc es uzskatu, ka šie divi mēneši faktiski bija ļoti vērtīgi, jo es skaidri ar apzināšanos piegāju tam, un ja reiz ar to ir jāsaskarās, tad labi, es tagad ar to saskaršos, es izjūtu, kādas ir tās sajūtas un sastapos ar tām atspratāciju.
And it ended in a dream. So share the dream with you. It's a great dream.
Un tas viss noslēdzās ar vienu sapni, un es vēlētos padalīties ar to.
And my mom, she loved gardening in the springtime, as I was saying to someone in our home in Toronto. It was cold outside, it'd be March. She'd go to the window of the back room where the garden was. She'd get her binoculars out and look for the crocuses. She was really neat that way.
Un manai mammai ļoti patika dārzkopība, un Marta laikā viņa parasti devās uz aizmugures Istanbulu, no kuras bija redzams nars, paņēma savu binokli un centās saskatīt krokusus.
And when I arrived in her condominium, she had a large terrace, but the terrace had no water, and she was very old, and she hadn't developed a garden. So I developed a really beautiful potted garden for her with, I think my record was 63 pots of just beautiful flowers and tomatoes and cucumbers. It was gorgeous.
Un kad es ierados savā mammas dzīves vietā, tad viņa bija jau tik vecs, ka viņa īsti nebija izveidojusi tādu dārzu, un tad es viņai palīdzēju to iekopt, un šiet mans rekords bija 63 dažādi puķu podi, kur bija gan tomāti, gan gurķi un daudz kas cits.
So I'd get her out on the wheelchair, and then she'd be on her walker, and she'd look at the flowers, and she'd be happy all day. It was just a lovely way to see her happy.
Un tad es paņēmu, viņa iesēdināja ratiņkrēslos, mēs izgājām mārā, un viņa priecājās par šo augu valsts dažādību, un tā bija ļoti patīkama pieredze un veids, kā pavadīt kopīgu dienu.
So then the dream. So this is 2 months later, and I was visiting our California monastery, and this very strong, almost like a vision, came to me one night.
Un tagad pats sapnis, tas bija jau šo divu mēnešu beigās. Es viesojos mūsu Kalifornijas klosterī, un šis sapnis bija gluži kā tāda spēcīga vīzija nakts laikā.
And the dream was that I was sitting on the floor with a bunch of monks, and my mother came in through an outside door carrying a big, big coffin with a blue, beautiful blue drape over it, and she was one of 6 pallbearers.
Pallbearer?
Carrying the
coffin. Mm-hmm. Tad tas sapnis bija tāds, ka es sēdēju kopā ar mūkiem uz grīdas zālē, un pa aizmugurējām durvīm ienāca māte, un viņa bija viena no 6, kas nesa tādu skaistu zārku, kas bija izrotāts ar zilu audumu.
And when I saw her, I was so happy to see her. I was just so happy in the dream. And then the coffin went upstairs through some kind of foggy area, and I ran upstairs following the coffin.
Un es biju ļoti priecīgs ieraudzīt māti, un tad caur kaut kādu minglainu reģionu zārks devās augšu pa kāpnēm uz augstāku stāvu, un es tam sakoju.
And then the next scene was she was lying on her deathbed, and I was very happy to see her, and I could hear her voice, and I was just so happy to hear her voice.
Un nākošā aina bija tāda, ka viņa gulēja savā nāves gultā, un es dzirdēju viņas balsu, un es biju ārkārtīgi priecīgs dzirdot viņas balsu.
So I wasn't afraid or I wasn't sad, I was very, very joyful to see her lying there and to hear her voice.
Es nebiju nobijies vai citādi, es biju ļoti priecīgs viņu redzēt un dzirdēt.
So then I rushed up to her, and I put my ear to her. I said, "What is it, Mom? What is it?"
Un tad es pieskrēju pie viņas klāt un pielieco ausi pie viņas un vaicāju, ko tu īsti saki.
And she said, "Don't forget to take care of the tomatoes."
Un viņa teica, neaizmirst parūpēties par tomātiem.
And I thought, "That's Mom."
Un es domāju, jā, tā ir mamma.
And I woke up, I was so happy. I was just so happy. And it was finished. You know, all that cleansing was finished.
un es pamodos, un es biju ļoti priecīgs, un tas viss bija beidzies.
And why I tell this story, other than it being a nice story, and it's good to have a story before going to bed.
Un kāpēc es stāstu šo stāstu, ja neskaitu faktu, ka tuvojas gulētiešanas laiks un stāstu pirms gulētiešanas ir ļoti labi lieta.
It's very important to try to be like fully conscious of these things, these kind of negative things, like just the resistance we have to negative things, to try to be really, really fully conscious. Resistance feels this way. And to trust that conscious, like Ajahn Sumedho uses a line, consciousness is the escape hatch.
Un ir ļoti svarīgi apzināties pilnīgi tās savas pretestības, pilnīgi tās uztvert, sastapties ar tām. Un Ajahn Sumedho teica, ka faktiski sastapšanās ar tām ir veids, kā mēs atbrīvojamies.
And it's like, if I was just indulging in depressing thinking, that's not mindfulness. Mindfulness is really going to the very feeling of the ugliness of it, or the difficulty of it, or the resistance of it, being one with it, and trusting that awareness is your real home, that it's okay.
Un, ja es iegrimtu vai sekot šai nepatikai vai agrūšanās tendencei, tad es tajā visā tikai nokļūtu vēl dziļāk, bet apzināšanās nozīmē to, ka mēs saprotam, kas ir mūsu mājas un spējam pieņemt to, kas notiek ar mums konkrētajā brīdī.
Because sometimes we never release things. We, you know, we analyze them, or we try to replace them, or we try to do the opposite, or we seek some kind of a compensation, but we never really face it as like a visceral experience.
Un mēs cenšamies dažādi apiet tās lietas, kas mums nepatīk, vai mēs cenšamies tās aizstāt, vai atgrūst, vai tās analizēt un tam līdzīgi, bet mēs nevēlamies ar tām sastapties tieši un izjust tās caur savām muguras smadzenēm.
And this, I think, with the practice of goodwill or metta is very important, that the goodwill or metta is allowing it all. Everything belongs, as Ajahn Sumedho says.
Un te man šiet ir ļoti svarīgi un vietā tieši labvēlības ir metas prakse un tas, ka mēs spējam ļaut tam notikt.
So, disappointment, joy, success, failure, sickness, harmony, disharmony, it all belongs.
Sarūktinājums, prieks, saskaņas, nesaskaņas, tam visam ir sava vieta.
And awareness then, when awareness can be, when awareness has that capacity to accept all things, let go of all things, then you begin to find the peace which is not on the wheel. It's not dependent on anything. It's independent, it's self-sufficient, it's beyond all dualities.
Un kad apziņai ir šī spēja pieņemt visu, kāds tas ir, ka tas parādās, tad mūsos rodas šis miers un nedualitāte šī riteņa centrā.
So now I get a memory of my mother's dying.
Un tagad man katru dienu ir kaut kādas atmiņas par mātes miršanu.
But emotionally it has no hooks because it's emotionally not loaded anymore. It's just a kind of a visual image of her pain, her dying, but it's not all loaded with those emotions.
Bet šīs atmiņas vairs nav emocionāli piesātinātas. Tās ir drīzāk tikai vizuāls, tām vairs nav tādi āķi, kas parauta līdz.
It's just memory.
Tā ir tikai atmiņa.
But I can see as those memories come up, I can become nostalgic and I could get depressed if I wanted.
Bet es varu arī saskatīt, ka ja es gribētu, tad šīm atmiņām ir tāda nostalģiska pieskaņa un ja es tam sekotu, tad es varētu iegrimt depresijā.
So the potential is there, but all this is just memory. Memory feels this way and then it goes.
Tātad potenciāls tur ir, bet es pamanu, ka lūk, šāda sajūta ir šīm atmiņām, un es ļauju tām būt.
So sometimes it's really easy. Non-attachment, non-grasping is really easy. Something arises, you know it, you don't grasp it, it goes, you stay in the center. Sometimes it's really tough, it's complicated. Your nervous system has really been impacted. You have a lot of material that you have to kind of work through. But if you understand what mindfulness is, that all of it is possible. It's always possible to work through.
Un reizēm šī nepieķeršanās ir diezgan viegla. Mēs pamanām, kā kaut kas parādās, kā tas pastāv un ļaujam tam brīvi iet. Bet reizēm mūsu emocionālā sistēma ir tik ļoti piesātināta, ka tas nav nemaz tik viegli, bet tas viss ir iespējams.
Because when you can't be aware of these things, then you burn out.
Jo, ja mēs neapzināmies, ja mēs neesam apzināti, tad mēs izdegam.
And then it takes a lot longer to kind of fix the damage, doesn't it?
Un tad šo bojājumu jau
takes a lot longer to fix the damage.
Tad tikt ar to visu galā prasa daudz ilgāku laiku.
Yeah. So that's why it's very important to practice mindfulness whenever you get a chance. It's really important to develop a real capacity to awaken, because when life gets complicated, you're basically relying on your practice which has come before. If you haven't developed practice, when life gets complicated, you get overwhelmed. But if you've developed practice, then when life becomes contemplated, the practice has strength, it has power to carry you through those difficulties.
Un tāpēc ir ļoti svarīgi izmantot katru brīdi, kurā mums ir iespēja attīstīt savu apzinātību, apzināšanos, jo tajā brīdī, kad mūsu dzīve kļūst grūta, mūsu vienīgais palīgs un glābiņš var būt šī iepriekš attīstītā apzināšanās un spēja uz visu paraudzīties caur to, jo ja mums tajā brīdī tas nav, tad dzīve kļūst ārkārtīgi grūta.
So like on this retreat, let's say you have a whole sitting where your mind is mostly in Riga.
Un teiksim, šī retrīta laikā mēs varam pavadīt visu meditācijas laiku mūsu prātam esot Rīgā.
It just keeps going back, you bring it, going back, you bring it. You think, what's the point of this?
Un,
this is a waste of time.
Mūsu prāts turpina atgriezties Rīgā, mēs atvākam to atpakaļ, tas atkal aizskrien uz Rīgu, mēs atkal atvākam to atpakaļ un domājam, kāda no tā visa ir jēga.
But have faith that actually your willingness to sit here and endure the monkey mind and keep trying to cultivate awareness gives power to awareness. You might not notice it now. You might think, oh gosh, I'm not getting anywhere. But just your intention is actually has a lot of power because you become more mindful.
Bet jūs varat būt droši, ka tas, ka jūs tagad trenējat šo savu mērķveidīgo prātu un un liekat tam atgriezties tur, kur tas negrib palikt, tad tas atstāja iespējot, kaut arī jūs šobrīd to varbūt nepamanāt.
So there's a lot going on that you don't quite realize. Because usually we just judge the meditation. Oh, I had a great meditation. Well, no, I had a bad meditation, and so on. But Ajahn Chah would say, if your meditation is peaceful, then accept it. If your meditation isn't peaceful, then accept it.
Un notiek arī daudz kas tāds, ko mēs nemaz nepamanām. Un Ajahn Chah teiktu, ka ja jūsu meditācija ir mierīga, tad pieņemat to. Ja jūsu meditācija ir nemierīga, arī pieņemat to.
You're developing like qualities like patience, awakeness, determination, a kind of self-discipline, all those qualities. And they are not like experiences. They're what we call qualities of consciousness, which are very strengthening.
Un jūs attīstat pacietību, apzināšanos, skaidru nomodu stāvokli, un tas ir apziņas vai prāta īpašības, ko mēs stiprinām.
So just to encourage you to just you know, just try to be with what you're with, you know, whatever comes up, and just be really, really patient, and just keep trying to awaken the mind to the way things are. It's like you're not trying to get rid of anything, you're just awakening again and again and again.
Un tāpēc es iedrošinu turpināt šo apzināšanos un turpināt atmodināt atkal un atkal prātu pret to, kāds viss ir.
And like, so I encourage you that, like, if at the end of the sitting you just get this feeling, oh gosh, I'm not getting anywhere, and say, oh, that's the feeling of not getting anywhere. That's the secret.
Un, ja jūsu meditācijas beigās ir sajūta, ka, nu, es galīgi nekur nevirzos, tad sajūtat un saprotat, kāda ir sajūta, kad jūs nekur nevirzaties. Tas ir tas nosāpums.
It really is, because there's nowhere to go. Sorry.
Jo patiesībā nav jau arī kur iet.
I should have said that in the last day. Now you're all going to leave.
Un vajadz to pataupīt tas pēdējo dienu citādāk, tagad jūs izdosties.
Yeah, just to encourage you, because training your mind is not easy. It's quite difficult.
Yeah, jo trenēt prāt nemaz nav tik vienkārši.
Okay, I'll leave that for your reflection.
And šī ir viela mums padomā.
And we'll finish with the chanting.
Un noslēgsim ar dziedājumu.
Shall we?